the Superhero Marathon Spectacular.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to day 26 of the journey into Superhero Marathon. I'm continuing on today with my rankings of the different phases of the MCU. Yesterday we talked about phase one. We also talked about the lifting the Avengers movies out of the rankings because it's not fair. They would always win and rank them among themselves. Pick on somebody your own size kind of thing. I am continuing to drive in the car as I do this, so I apologize for the audio quality of this. But if I want to stay on schedule, then this is what I have to do. All right. So once again, Avengers Age of Ultron is taken out of the running. And I'm just going to start in with the list again, ranking lowest to highest. Got to build up that tension. What's going to be number one? It may or may not be obvious which one is number one. All right, so I'm going to start once again. Even though I enjoy the Thor movies, I enjoy Thor as a character and Loki and the supporting characters, I do have to put Thor once again at the bottom of the list with Thor the Dark World that came out in 2013. For me, it is much more of a mixed movie than the first Thor movie. I thought in general the first Thor movie did what it needed to do. It introduced these characters. It had a lot of elements that I loved from the comics and integrated them all well into the story as a whole. Thor the Dark World felt more chaotic. It didn't really fit in. There wasn't a through line, really. We had, I can't even remember the name of the Dark Elf character. Maybe that says something in and of itself. I don't even remember the name of the villain in this. So, you know, he was waging war against Asgard, and I really felt that the Jane Foster character, and especially Darcy and the Professor character, were shoehorned into this. This could have been all about Asgard and all about just Thor dealing with God stuff. With Asgard stuff, it didn't even have to include the people on Earth. And it probably would have been a better movie for it. But they, you know, of course, contractually and whatever else, they brought Jane Foster back. And there were elements of that that worked between Thor and Jane Foster. But it really did fall short, I think. And it was kind of a chaotic mess. I loved the Loki and Thor stuff. Him and Thor working together to save Asgard and all that kind of stuff. I thought the death of Frigga, Thor's mother, was so effective, was very well done and effective, especially as it impacted Loki and what that meant to him. Yeah, anyway, a lot of those elements really worked, but as a whole, it wasn't that great. I mean, yeah, it was still fun, and it was an MCU movie, but it was really kind of the first time I noticed, oh, maybe all these movies aren't going to be that great. Enjoyable, but in the end, the lowest of the phase two. Next comes Ant-Man from 2015, which I think came after Age of Ultron, right? It was the last movie in the phase two. I liked Ant-Man a lot. I think I liked Paul Rudd as Scott Lang, and I thought the stakes of it were great. He wasn't trying to save the world. He was only trying to save his daughter. And the way they brought in Hank Pym and the lore of Ant-Man and the technology of Ant-Man and as it related to, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. and Peggy Carter and everything that came before it. That was a lot of fun too. And just the mechanics of it and how it worked and this going through this experience of, you know, shrinking and dealing with the ants. And I just thought they took a crazy, weird concept. You know, the character of Ant-Man was always weird and strange and really wasn't that great, even in the comics, in my opinion. And so to execute it so well on screen and make the stakes where they should have been for a character like Ant-Man, I thought was really good. And I liked it. And it was fun, but it you know, it wasn't one of those higher echelon movies. And I don't think it was meant to be, but it was fun. I enjoyed the characters. I really didn't have any complaints about it. But there's other movies that are higher than it in Phase 2, which leads me to Iron Man 3, ranking number 3 in Phase 2. Iron Man 3 was a really good movie. I liked that it was a little bit different than the other two. It tried to do something new. And I liked that a lot of it was Tony Stark without his armor, and he had to figure out ways to overcome that. And I liked that it was, a lot of it was brought on by his own hubris. A lot of people were angry about the Mandarin not being the Mandarin. And I thought that worked out really well. I wasn't that excited about the whole Extremis plot line and the main villain that became. I mean, a lot of it was good and fun, but it wasn't as cool of a villain as it could have been. And even though, like I said, I didn't think the Mandarin swap out was bad, there really wasn't a great villain in the movie. So in that respect, I guess I agree that it wasn't the best choice or whatever. But man, there's some great Iron Man action segments there. And we get more of Rhodey, you know, being Iron Patriot and all that stuff. And yeah, there's some great scenes in the movie. And of course, Robert Downey Jr. continues to knock it out of the park. Tony Stark as a character is amazing. They keep the supporting cast. Unlike Thor, The Dark World, Iron Man 3 continues to do well with involving Pepper and Happy and all these people in his life integrated in with his storyline. But again, you know, he was on his own for a lot in this movie as well, which was kind of cool. And it shows the inventiveness, the ingenuity of Tony Stark continues regardless of whether he has his armor or not. And I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a good movie. Which brings me up to number two. What's number two going to be? Well, I've put it as Guardians of the Galaxy. Came out in 2014. A lot of people might put Guardians of the Galaxy as their number one pick. And I wouldn't be able to argue with them too much about that. You know, and I guess I wouldn't blame them. But, man, they took this obscure group of characters who were unrelated to everybody else that had been established in the MCU. And James Gunn came in and made them people that we cared about. And by the end, they cared about each other. They overcame powers that were way beyond their capacity to overcome. You know, and of course, a lot of it was because of the power gem, the power stone. And this is a great example of how you can build the world of the greater MCU. You know, we're talking about, we have Thanos in here, who's going to be the major villain of this thrust, right? And we introduce yet another Infinity Stone, but it doesn't feel like that's the only thing this movie is doing. It doesn't feel like we're world building because James Gunn focused on these characters. He made us care about Peter Quill. He made us care about Gamora. And he made them care about each other. You know, Rocket Raccoon and Groot. You know, they were mercenaries. They were out for themselves. They didn't care about anybody else. But yet, they come together as a team. Drax, all he cares about is killing Thanos. They establish this relationship between Peter Quill and Gamora that is off the wall. But it works. It really works. And it's fun, and it's exciting, and it's irreverent. And, you know, we have the Nova Corps. We have all this huge cosmic stuff. And it just invented it all whole cloth. I mean, yes, it's taking intellectual property from existing Marvel characters and worlds and whatever, but it just established an entirely different aesthetic. It really it expanded the MCU beyond the Earth and created this cosmic universe, which is an essential part of the comic books, but had not been explored other than, in the Avengers movie, we saw Thanos and we saw these alien creatures from beyond Earth coming to Earth and all this stuff. But to become a part of that cosmos, to become and to really explore what it means to be out there in the Marvel cosmic universe, this did so much. It was so great. It had the gimmick there of the soundtrack, with all of these old 70s songs or early 80s. I think they were mostly 70s, though. And just Peter Quill as a character and all these other characters coming together did an amazing job and really gave us something different than we hadn't seen before and really opened up our eyes to, wow, there's so much more than what we've seen already. So that was awesome. But for me, I still have to put Captain America, the Winter Soldier, as my number one pick for Phase 2. Man, I loved this movie. It was so great. I loved the character of Steve Rogers. I thought pairing him with the Black Widow was a great choice because they're kind of the yin and the yang of each other. You know, he's the go-get-em Boy Scout from the 40s. She's the jaded espionage spy from the future, his future, but our present, and just bringing those two together and making it a spy thriller. And I think pulling off the Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes coming back as the Winter Soldier, just pulling that off so well, taking that material from the comic books and adapting it. And that's where I think the MCU has been really smart as well, is you take things from the comics, but you make it work for what you're doing, what has come before in the MCU and how it fits in, and bringing that all together. You know, having Robert Redford come in as this political figure, having Crossbones in there and putting Captain America in a position where he has to fight against the organization that he's working for and tying it back to his origins, tying it back to Hydra, not necessarily the Red Skull, but Hydra itself, embedding itself within S.H.I.E.L.D. and Steve Rogers being able to see through a lot of that and being able to objectively go against that, but also, having the Black Widow guide him into this modern world. And then you introduce the Falcon and bringing that all in. It was so, every time I see it, I just really enjoy Captain America Winter Soldier. And it proved that even though you're doing all of these different superhero movies, they don't have to all be alike, and you can really do something different with these characters. And so, yeah, I love Winter Soldier, and I put it at the top of the list. As much as I like Guardians of the Galaxy and Iron Man 3 and all those things, I still put Winter Soldier above them. So there you go. There's my rankings of Phase 2. Well, I guess maybe I can rank these individual trilogies as we finish them off. So we have Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, essentially. So real quick, ranking those, I would say, least or lowest to highest, I'd say Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, and then Iron Man as the top. There you go. Now we're going to get another 6 movies in Phase 2, just like there were 6 movies in Phase 1. Phase 3, we get up to 11 movies in Phase 3. Of course, 2 of those are taken out because they're Infinity War and Endgame. But so I'll be ranking 9 movies instead of 5 tomorrow. So come on back for that. And head on over to patreon.com/journeyinto and take advantage of the free trial and go through some of the extra stuff that's offered over there and see what you think. I'd love to have your support.
In the meantime, have a great day. Journey on. The Journey Into podcast is produced under Creative Commons, attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license, which means that you are encouraged to share this podcast with as many people as you would like. But please don't change it or sell it, and let people know where you got it from.